Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon to you, Busi.
Afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Very, very, very well. Good to hear that. Now, we are actually talking about a subject, helping children deal with grief. Now, most kids know something about grief, loss, or death even. They probably have seen it on TV shows or heard about it even. Some have heard about it in the families as well. But it's very different when it actually happens to someone very close to them. And so parents can't take the pain away from them, but they can help them cope in some healthy ways. And so we're going to be talking about that this afternoon. So how do children, Busi, differ with adults in the way they deal with grief?
So we've got the different ages. Now, you're looking at the ones that are from 0 to 5. Those are the ones that don't understand what's happening, but they know someone is not here. And then you have your 5 to 8. They're quite aware. They understand everything. They have memories. They can have feelings and emotions, but they're still recording. Then you've got your 8 or 9 up to 13. Now, those are the ones that are very deep in emotions. They now really understand that I lost somebody. I can't see this person ever again, or I'd never spend time with this person. Then ask even with the adults, where you from 13 up until 21, they differ. So kids all understand that someone is not here, but the emotions are different as to how they resonate with the death.
So, man, it must be then difficult, because, I mean, from confusion, because you'd hear others saying, but where is mommy, where is daddy, where is uncle, et cetera, because, especially those who are up to 7 or 8 years old, quite a difficult one, because the parents would also be grieving at that time, or the remaining parent, whoever it is. What are some of the healthy ways then to help the children to deal with grief?
So I think we are a different generation now. Back in the days, they would say kids will understand over time. They will heal over time. But now our kids needs them to sit down and have a conversation. So it's okay to have that conversation with a child and actually explain it to them as to what's happening. You can make examples in terms of their age related to say, you once had a friend and now they're not here anymore and you can't talk to them, or you lost your doll. Because you lost your doll, you can never see it. Those are the little ones. So now we need to make a conversation with the kids. We need to sit down and make sure that we do understand their emotions, allow them to cry, allow them to vent out, allow them to explain what they understand about the loss. What do you think about Granny? Where is Granny? What happened to Granny? What do you understand about the angels? What do you understand about heaven? So let the kids be the one that express their emotions. Then you add on what they don't understand. So I think back in the days, they would say, no, we can't talk these things with the kids because we're traumatizing them. They can't see the body in the casket because we're traumatizing them. They can't attend the funerals. So now it's the time where we can say, let them be part and parcel of every step that you are taking towards the preparation, towards the loss, and towards the funeral.
Sometimes a child actually may feel a source of loss over something that an adult may not be able, to relate with. For example, losing a beloved toy or a pet. How do parents guide children through the process without minimizing, the experience? Should kids be taught to just toughen up and get over it, man? It's just a toy.
No, actually, and that's how we were raised.
Exactly.
You know, be tough, be strong, get over it. Kids of these days, I would do something that's called assault therapy, or I will do something that's called the heart of memory, where would say, okay, your dog used to play with this ball. Now we need to take this ball and recreate a love memory that you have with your dog, whether we cut it, paint it, draw through it, do something, but have an activity that the child can express themselves towards what they've lost, instead of saying toughen up, get over it, because that's trauma to a child. Every time they think of this, they're afraid of getting another dog because they lost the dog.
And it's quite important for I like what you're saying, that we've got to get to that level, because it truly is a loss, and they're feeling that sense of loss and perhaps pain as well. So as opposed to us, truly, because Tina, they would tell us that, ah, man, it's just a dog. What's your problem? We'll just get another dog. And it's not the same, eh? Because that dog is had a different personality, character, etc., and would play differently with it. So I love what you're saying, that we really should but not minimize their pain and experiences. Now,
not at all.
Truly. Now, how can a parent who is experiencing grief or loss be present for a child who's also going through the same?
So we need to be the first recipient of grief as parents. First of all, we need to be the ones that are attending therapy. Because if I can't speak about something, I'll make an example. If I lost my husband through cancer and I cannot speak about cancer, it means that I cannot even help my kids to understand that their father died because of cancer.
True.
So I need to be the first person to take care of myself, as to say, can I go to therapy so that I can accept, go through the stages of grief, so that I'm able to assist or walk the journey with my kids. So in between the walking of the journey, you are taking care of yourself first, because there is no way that you'll try and be strong for a child. Children see through your eyes. They see through your emotions that you are not okay. And that is a secondary trauma to them, because now they saw him that he passed, and then they see you going through the trauma. Now to them, it's a double trauma. So in order for you to be able to assist your kids, you need to take care of yourself first, and then be able to take your kids with you. So what I would do with grieving therapy, I would always have a session with the mom or the dad or whoever is the adult. And then I would say, on the second or third session, please bring your kids along, because we want this conversation to be a norm into the family. When you hear the word cancer, it mustn't traumatize you.
When
you hear the word grief, loss, death, it mustn't traumatize you. It must be something that we can speak about in celebration, to say, oh, he lived a good life. Oh, there are people that survived. Oh, there are people that didn't survive. So those kind of conversation happens only when we are the ones that take care of us first, accept, and then we are able to give love to the kids.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to let you go, Busi, but I just want to check now just one or two things. Should people that are going through grief, whether adult or children, go through a therapy?
Yes, it's a must.
Is it a definite must?
It's a must. If you don't, you will be numb to the situation, and then you will eventually go to the acceptance stage, because now you need to get through the funeral, the arrangements, the families, and everything that happens in that space. Mm-hmm. And then after that, reality kicks in, back to work. Mm-hmm. Now you haven't spent time in understanding your feelings, your emotions, and how it affected you as a person. So you need to deal with that, get through it, so that you are not a photocopy version of yourself.
How did we manage, man, back in the day? Because we didn't go through therapy sessions, etc. I'm remembering back in the day, it must be some 20 years ago, we lost our brother. I was still a bit youngish, well, not very young, my 20s, but it was the first loss in the family, and we went to bury him, and we came back and we moved on with life. Well, needless to say that I think my mother was the one who I think struggled for quite a while.
So interesting you asking this question. Back in the days, the memories were not as big as the memories that we have now.
Okay.
Now we've got Instagram, Facebook, we've got photos, we've got videos, we've got vacations, we've got all these cool things that we are doing. So now when somebody passes, you are left with this memory that is so much on your face. But back in the days, it was just the name and the body. But then the memories were not as huge. The only memories you have would be those black and white photos you have, those photos in the album, but it was not as intense as it is now. In our days, literally 24/7, we are spending time with our people, be it on social media, be it face to face, be it through a song or whatever. So that is why it was easy to grieve over somebody very fast back in the days than it is now. Now the whole world can grieve for you. And it's so difficult for you to get over it in a space of 2 days or a month because there's a memory that you've created and lived. So that's the difference between the two. I remember my dad at some point, he came in, he's like, I'm an orphan. I'm like, oh, Vanna, at this age. he's like, I lost my dad in 1993 and my mom in 2016. I'm an orphan. I'm like, are you grieving now? Then I realized that he's actually entering the phase that the world is in of grieving for the people they love because we are living in the moment and in the space of the people we loved. But back in the days, it was, let's bury you, close the chapter, let's move on to the next page. But we are a different generation.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, back to the kids. What's the first thing that we need to pick up as children that this child is actually struggling and they need much more attention after the death of a loved one?
So, first of all, the ones that say I'm fine are the ones that are not fine, especially the boys, the boy kids. No, I'm okay. I'm good. No, I'm fine. It's nothing. If you pick up that kind of behavior, because it's a child, you need not to give them an option of not attending therapy. They need to go speak about their emotions. Secondly, when they are dropping down at school in terms of their grades and participation or activities, they lose interest in a lot of things, then you must know a child is going through it. If a child doesn't want to play soccer anymore, is not excited for the life and everything, then you need to pick up those signs as well. And then isolation as well. Not too much friends. Now suddenly a child does not like being around a lot of kids and spaces or around events, then you can pick up those signs as well. So isolation, not wanting to be around people, saying I'm fine all the time, I don't need help. Those are the major ones that we would pick up. Rather a child go through writing a letter every month for their parent up until they understand that I don't have a parent.
And is there a role to be played by a school post death?
So yes, they can play through the friends because the school understands the child's friends and the people that are closer to him. Now, there would be like a trauma debriefing session that I'd always encourage schools to say, rather have a little trauma debriefing for the child and her friends, even if it's through an activity that can be played at school with the friends, not the whole school, because now the child is affected at school. Secondly, they need to understand that it's not easy for a child to really connect immediately after loss, and grief can happen at any day. It can happen after 3 months or 6 months, and then a child loses it. So a school needs to pay attention to those, and that's when they can refer a child to say, now after 6 months, this child is breaking. We need to give them space to attend therapy because they are either dropping down the grades, they are either not participating, or they can see their emotions and everything. So then that's where they can refer the kids for therapy.
Very important. Well, Busi, the therapist is the one that we spoke to now, and she has actually helped us helping our children going through grief. If a parent, Busi, has seen that they've gone to therapy and the children of everybody has gone to therapy, but it doesn't seem like it's improving a year, 2 years later. Should we then say, no, we'll allow the natural healing process to take over?
We can allow the natural healing process to take over as long as they did attend some form of therapy. Mm-hmm. What I always encourage parents and families is to say, why don't we do what the other cultures do, the white community, say, let's create something in memory. Let's do something in memory, even if it's a foundation, even if it's a charity event or something, just to say, because we want to keep the legacy going, let's remember this person by honoring them of what they really loved doing. So in that way, there's a little bit of healing, but not direct, sort of indirect. Let's run for cancer every February. That's indirect, but still direct.
Ah, beautiful one. Busi, I must thank you so much for your time and coming through and having this very important emotional conversation with us. Thank you so, so much for your time.
Thank you so much to you too. Lovely. Have a lovely day.
Have a beautiful one. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.